Well, good morning, you guys, and happy Mother's Day. Hey, wasn't it great listening to those videos from the kids?
Super cute.
Oh my goodness. And I just hope, moms, that you guys feel really appreciated, because that's something that I guess when I think about Mother's Day, I think about just a lot of times the underappreciation that moms get, unfortunately.
Do they sometimes get underappreciated?
More than sometimes, I would say. Definitely.
I'm sure they all got breakfast in bed today. Maybe. If you did get breakfast in bed, comment below. We want to know about it.
Yes. If there's now peanut butter stains on your sheets because of breakfast in bed, we apologize. But moms, we just want you to know how much we appreciate you.
And absolutely.
You're such a key part of our church family here.
So much.
So we love you very much, and we just thank you very much for all you do.
Yeah, moms, and those of you that may not have children of your own, or maybe they're kind of grown and gone or whatever, but those of you that fill that role for someone as a mentor or as a role model or just not even just biological mothers, but we want to celebrate those of you that have poured into someone's life and in that motherly role. And Scripture talks often about that, about mothers and fathers, spiritual mothers and fathers. And we need more of that in 2020. People that will come alongside and live selflessly and come around people and raise even those who are young in their faith but old in, you know, chronologically, mothers to come along and care and comfort and give. And so thank you for doing that. We just want to celebrate that today. So we just had a couple thoughts to start out this morning about moms. And we were just talking earlier about how we love, fathers as well, but how mothers reveal a part of the character of God. You see, one of the ways that we get to see God, because God is invisible. So we see God, the Bible tells us that we clearly see His glory and His handiwork and His character in nature around us, in the created world. Mm-hmm. But one of the other ways that we see it, because our spirit is of the same substance that God is, you know, we're breathed in by Him, life inside of us, we're animated by the Spirit of God, we get to see part of the character and reflection of God in people. And so in mothers, we get to see, imagine a world with no mothers. That would be a rough, smelly place.
It'd be a small population.
Well, that too, yes. So we want to just celebrate the part of God that we get to see in moms. Mm-hmm. And so a couple thoughts that we had. One of the ways that we get to see God through moms, through the mothering role, whether it's a biological mom or someone who's stepped into that role, we get to see kind of this unearned grace and compassion. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
That moms have,
yes.
That maybe dads are a little lacking in.
Might be, just a little lacking.
How many of you moms told your kids 417 times to clean their room, and you're about ready to strangle them, and they come and give you those puppy dog eyes, and you just wrap them in your arms, and you love them anyways. And moms, you are so good at that. Mm-hmm. You're amazing. Sometimes us dads, we want to pull our hair out and do something that we would get in trouble for with our kids. And you're so soft and so gracious. And, you know, how many times has little Junior, you've yelled at him to not jump off the swings. Don't jump off the swings. Do not jump off the swings. And guess what little Junior does? Jumps off the swings. And he gets hurt. And who does he run to? Not dad.
Not dad.
Runs to the one that just got done telling him 17 times to not jump off the swings. Mm-hmm. But he's leveraging that character of Christ in you that is compassionate and undeserved favor that you moms are always giving. And so we just want to thank you for highlighting that part of God that we get to see that we wouldn't see otherwise. We would experience it from God, but we get to see it in flesh and blood. And
yes.
How many of us, and I would dare say all of us would raise our hands, how many of us get frustrated sometimes that we can't touch and see God? Mm-hmm. And in moms, we get to see some of those character traits that we can touch and feel and see and experience face to face. One of the other parts about that, which I kind of already mentioned, is just the comfort. Just there's such mm-hmm. a safety, and we see verses like he'll surround you and shelter you in his wings, and you know, just this kind of this gathering. You know, Jesus said, I long to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. Mm-hmm. Just this bringing in close and this yes. comforting kind of thing that dads try to do. Kids hurt, what do?
Yes.
Right? All you dads, good job for us. You'll be okay, right?
You might be a dad if you've told somebody to rub some dirt on it.
Exactly. I mean, we do what we can. Or as kind of in our house, and I think is inherited from my dad, well, you won't do that again.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
But not necessarily reflective of comfort. And so we just want to thank you, moms, mm-hmm. and you, those of you that are mentoring, and just for showing us what it means to have comfort. Mm-hmm. Just that sometimes we know what's right, but we just need a little more than that. Mm-hmm. We know we messed up. We know we got hurt and it probably was our fault. We know, but you know what? Sometimes we just need someone to put their arm around us, proverbially or physically, mm-hmm. and just say, it's okay. Just hang in there. Mm-hmm. It'll be all right. That comfort that you moms do so well, that you just display the character of God in our lives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one more. How many of you moms, you said it already in the intro, how many of you moms have maybe ever done something that went unnoticed? And it was a good thing, and you worked hard on it. I remember my grandma yelling at us to slow down when we were eating. I worked all day cooking this. You need to take more than 10 minutes to eat it. And that kind of stuck with me. And I know mm-hmm. she was kind of chastising us, but at the same time, she was saying, I love you guys, and I worked hard on this. Mm-hmm. Let's savor this moment together. And how many times, I'm sure probably, sorry, Mom, but probably her own kids didn't, mm-hmm. you know, didn't appreciate that. And sorry, Mom, how many times we didn't appreciate, I know we didn't. I know we grew up just not saying thank you enough. Mm-hmm. And you go and you do things tirelessly behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and you're always working, and you're always doing things with the knowledge that it probably won't get appreciated.
You mean dishes don't just wash themselves?
Well, I think you put them in the magic dishpan, yeah. and they just, and they come out clean.
Clothes just end up in your drawer folded.
Right.
Right?
Well, it's just, I'm sure Mom knows how that happens, but easy, it's, right?
Yes.
Our lives would be a lot more wrinkled
yes.
and unfolded.
And unfolded.
Yes. So we really want to say thank you. And,
yes.
And thank you for doing the things, mm-hmm. for showing up every day, even when you don't want to, for, and I know you moms don't get as sick as us guys do. You know, when we get sick, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a lot harder for us. Maybe you don't know that. Hope you're not very angry right now, because that's a joke. But it would seem that when, you know, the classic, when the guy gets a sniffle, we're out for 3 days. You know, moms, you can have your arm half hacked off, and we expect you to still make supper
yes.
and still fold clothes. And gosh, where would we be without you? So we just want to pause today and say thank you. Thank you for tirelessly doing the things day in and day out, and showing us that's what God's doing.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the segue to kind of the message that we wanted to get to today. But we wanted to pause for a couple minutes this morning and just tell you how much we appreciate you, and how much we love your godly influence, and how much we love the fact that we get to see God clearer
yes.
and better
yes.
and a more informed picture of who God is mm-hmm. because you guys exist.
Amen.
So thank you,
yes.
moms. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just start off by reading a verse. We're still in Philippians chapter 1. Been in Philippians chapter 1 for a few weeks now.
We have.
And we're in this series of stewarding this season well, taking the curveball that life has thrown us right now and deciding that we're gonna make lemonade out of the lemons that we've got. And
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a secular saying, but it has its roots in Scripture. This is the day that the Lord has made. You get the right to whine and complain mm-hmm. and fuss mm-hmm. and pout around and mm-hmm. and be kind of a turd head. Can you say that on camera? I don't know if you can.
You just did.
I just
so.
Did. You get the right to do
yes.
that. When you get a day that God hasn't created for you.
Ooh.
What? God says, this is the day that I've created.
Yes.
Let's rejoice and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. But God didn't know there was going to be a coronavirus. God didn't know we didn't get to have church. God didn't know. No, he knew that. Well, God didn't know that I was going to be short on my finances this month. Well, God didn't know that my kid was going to rebel and spit in my face. And well, God didn't know. No, God knew. And you know why he tells us hard things like that? Because he knows it's good for us.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof.
Well, oof. God didn't know, my parents didn't know that I wasn't going to like broccoli. If they would have known that, they would have not told me to eat my vegetables. No, they knew that our body needs vitamins and minerals, and that without that, we're going to emaciate and we're going to become deficient. And so God knew that the best thing for you is to start this day off, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. God, I have a hard time thanking you for everything that's coming my way today, but I'm going to thank you that I've got the breath in my lungs to do it. Thank you. And start finding every little thing. Thank you that we've got a roof over our head. Thank you that we've got food to eat. Start with the simple things and just let that snowball into praise and worship to him, because that's what he's called us to do, because that's what energizes our spirits. Mm-hmm. That's what gives us that connection with heaven, to resource our lives, to be able to embrace what we have. So even when life throws us curveballs, we need to embrace God. We need to rejoice in these days. So that's the series that we're in. And I want to read one verse from Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 6. We've already read this multiple times. But we're kind of stirred to this thought today. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I think it was last time, or maybe Wednesday night, or maybe both, we really honed in on this idea that the church in Philippi was partnering with the gospel.
Yes. Yep.
And that part of Paul's confidence, this is old school now, this is what we've already talked about, that Paul could have the confidence because they were partnering with the gospel. They were lining up their lives with the gospel. They were lining up their choices, their decisions, their volition. They were lining up their resources, their time, their money, their gifts, and they were lining up their prophetic words, their imagination, their vision, what they say and think and speak. They were lining that all up with kingdom things, with gospel things. And Paul was also highlighting that God is faithful. So he was taking both sides of that equation and highlighting it. So we really focused on the bringing it to completion part. And I want to just bring something out today that Paul was saying. Not only was he confident that God was going to bring this to completion, Paul was confident that God began a good work in them. And that just really struck me. Like, Paul, you're saying that God is doing a good work in these people. Look at your neighbor and say, good.
Good.
Good. Paul was confident that what God was doing in their lives was good. I'm going to say that again. Paul had a confidence that the work, not only was God going to bring this work that he was doing in their lives to completion, but Paul was also confident that the work that God was doing in that two things, that God was doing a work in their life, and that it was good. Just stop and ponder that for a second. So you, today, were confident that God is doing a work in your life. And I think so often, as I was pondering these scriptures, so often we go, especially as charismatics, and you've mentioned this before, us Pentecostal charismatic people, and rightly so, we're very experiential. We love what is God speaking right now? What is God doing right now? And I love that. And I wouldn't change that for anything. I love that kind of this current thing that God's doing. Let's hear God's voice. Come on, church. Let's in this season, let's get God's heartbeat. Let's press into him. Let's, you know, kind of this pressing in for revival. We want to see hearts ablaze in the glory of God, regardless of what's going on in our lives around us. We want to see God do things. And I love that charismatic experience, but I think sometimes we start to think wrongly that if I'm not having this intense experience with God, that God's not doing a good work in my life. And I want to just say, that's not true. And I'm saying that. I don't know what the Greek. I don't know what the Greek word for that is. But
yes, exactly.
I just want to highlight that. If not to you, I want to highlight it to me.
Yeah.
Because I love the goosebump moments. I love the altar snot and tear moments. I love these. Whether they're intense, and maybe you might not think it's a mountaintop moment, but this God is just stirring my heart, man. Just heaven came down kind of moment. I love those. But on a Monday afternoon, on a Tuesday morning, on a Thursday evening, when it just feels like life, mm-hmm. I'm confident that God's doing a good work in you. Mm-hmm. Because there's scripture to that. Mm-hmm. So if I keep pointing my heart, if I keep pointing my choices, if I keep pointing my resources, and I keep pointing my words and my imagination towards kingdom things, I can be confident that God's doing a work and that it's good in my life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say that sometimes we don't recognize the work of God. And we stack our lives up against someone else. We stack our lives up against our picture of what I think the work of God looks like. Mm-hmm. Boy, you just had this, you had this verse the other day, and wow, God really works mm-hmm. through you. Mm-hmm. Friend, God is doing something mm-hmm. in Amen. Your life right now. Unless you are partnering with something else, And God still is doing grace works in your life. And I just want to say that behind the scenes, there's more happening in you right now than you realize. And just in this season, now's a good time to really dial in. God, what are you doing? And I know we've said that before. Let's really press in and say, God, what are you trying to teach us in this season? God, what are you highlighting? Let's be really diligent when we're doing our devotions, when we're reading the Word of God, when we're having prayer time, when we're worshiping. Let's be more active in keeping a journal or maybe writing down the scriptures that God's highlighting to us. Mm-hmm. Let's really be sensitive to the voice of God. What are you trying to say? But even if you feel like, man, there's just nothing happening in my life, I just want to kind of push against mm-hmm. that a little bit and say, yes. I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. And so often, I think the work of God in us looks like uncomfortableness. It mm-hmm. looks like garbage that's being brought to the surface. Mm-hmm. You know how God teaches you patience? By revealing you mm-hmm. your impatience in a yes. season that's yes. pressing on you. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't call that a work of God. I'd just say, man, I was more impatient today than mm-hmm. it. Do you see how we can miss the work yes. of God in life? Yes. And I just think that's so important mm-hmm. for us to recognize what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially like something that I like to think about during this time is just how a lot of times we get stuck at the surface level. Mm-hmm. Like the surface level, like we're just looking for just at the surface level. We want to see what we want to see, right? That's mm-hmm. what we look for what we want to see. And what God is really challenging mm-hmm. us in this season is to look beneath the surface, yeah. like really dig in. One of my favorite parables is the parable of the growing seed, and it's found, if you want to look for it, it's in Mark chapter 4. It's verses 26 through 29. I'm not going to read it for you, but the idea behind this parable is that seed, and we've talked about it, seeds grow in death, decay, and darkness. That mm-hmm. seed goes down into mm-hmm. the soil, and you could walk away and look at that seed and think that, you know, it's beneath the surface and think nothing's happening. But you and I know things are happening to that seed beneath the surface. Yeah. It's growing.
Yep.
And key things are happening to that seed, and we gotta stop looking at the surface mm-hmm. for what God's doing.
That's good.
We really gotta lean That's in good. And challenge ourselves. You're gonna find what you go looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You are gonna find, if you look for evidence of God not working in your life, unfortunately, if you approach it with that mindset, mm-hmm. you're gonna find it. But if you, in spite of what you're experiencing, go looking for evidence of God working in your life, you're going to find it. You just got to look beneath that surface and trust mm-hmm. that He is doing. He who began a good yeah. work yep. is yep. carrying it on to yep. completion.
Yeah. Then this wasn't in my notes because I didn't know he was going to share that. But I want to just mm-hmm. take a moment and just press into that a little
okay.
bit more.
Yeah.
What do you mean when we're talking about deeper, and what do you mean when we're talking about surface things? I guess when I think of that, I'm kind of thinking like kind of what I was just talking about, maybe like mountaintop experiences, or maybe you paid it forward. You just felt this little nudge in your heart, and you paid for someone's groceries ahead of you or behind you or whatever. You know, kind of a thing like that. If you've never done that before, I would say maybe that God's doing a good new thing in you. But if that's kind of your natural personality anyway, and you're already kind of partnered with that, I would say that's not. I don't want this to sound bad, because surface isn't bad things,
mm-hmm.
but they're more. They're what we would call low-hanging fruit. It's stuff that you could see easy. That's what we mean by surface. We don't mean shallow. That's please, that's not what we mean. But it's things that come easily, or we can see easily, or they're very visible. Or I would say things like surface would be like, I was in my prayer time today, and man, I just got this download from heaven. God just spoke to me this and that. I've got a paragraph of stuff. Surface. Like, not shallow, but I'm saying easily seen. That's what I mean by surface. Deep, full of good fruit, but I can see it easily. What I think we mean by deep things is those things that are more hidden, but they're going on in the deep places of our heart and our life, and they might not be so glamorous.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, when's the last time that we did a great Facebook post about how God was removing the root of bitterness and jealousy from my heart? Right? But those are the things that are going to kill you. And those are the things that are going to revive you if you get them rooted out of your life. That's a deep work of God.
Yes.
That's not that, and that doesn't happen in like 3 seconds. That happens through a time, and you know what? It's going to get really ugly before it gets better, because you have to see it's hidden. It's deep down inside of us. And that's, I think, what Pastor Stephen is trying to say. Let's press in and dig in and look for those things that aren't just on the surface level. Not that they're shallow, but they're easily seen. Let's look for the things that are deep rooted in us, and let God, let the root of the kingdom root in deeply. And roots can't go through things if it's getting clogged up. And so God wants to pull those stones and those boulders and the junk out of us, the religion, the false ideas, the idols in our lives, the jealousy, the just murderous, slanderous thoughts that we want to speak out. Like, all this junk that's in there that you might not even know that's in there, in order for the kingdom of God to root down in us as we're partnering with kingdom things, that junk's got to come out.
Yeah.
And God's so gracious that He doesn't say it all has to happen Tuesday.
Yes.
It's a continual process.
It is.
And He'll reveal a layer at a time and let our hearts become more Christ-like a layer at a time so that we can handle it. Because it would probably kill us if He had to root that all out at once. And so we keep coming, we keep showing up, we keep coming to the table. And so God is doing a work. We just need to look for it. So that's kind of the first part of that. He is doing something. So I just want to challenge you today. What's God doing in you? What's God doing in you that you're not recognizing right now? What's God doing in you that maybe you thought was the devil? Man, I've just been impatient this week.
Yes.
It's because maybe God's trying to highlight.
Yes.
God's bringing this gunk to the surface. We need to steward it. That's what stewardship is. I need to manage this heart of mine. So have you had an incorrect response and you just dove in this pool of guilt and shame and regret? Oh, I blew it again. I do. I do it all the time.
Yep.
Or have we been a good steward and we brought it to God on the altar? I'm like, okay, God, I'm bringing you this stinking, rotting flesh.
Yes.
And I'm laying it here. Let's see it die. Wow. I said that to my kids again. Oh, I can't believe that. Wow, I had this reaction again.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, I'm going to steward this well, because I feel like you're trying to work in my heart. It just feels like gunk to me. But I'm going to bring it to the throne, because that's where it can be killed off. Jesus, produce something good in me. Yeah. But that takes wisdom. That takes a wreck. That's below the surface. Do you see? That doesn't look like the work of God. That looks like me just blah. And maybe it's the Holy Spirit highlighting. Are you willing to let God get rid of that stuff in your heart now? Are you willing to do a deep work? Because often the thing isn't even the thing. That's what makes this even harder. Often the thing behind my bitterness isn't even the bitterness. It's something behind that. I feel like God disappointed me sometime in the past or something. That's hard, deep stuff. But let's let God go deep in this season so that the kingdom can go deep. We are not going to get anywhere close to finishing this today. Let me read another verse today. So the second part of this is that it's a good work. Let me read verses out of Philippians chapter 2. So we've been in Philippians 1. So again, in Philippians 2, we're going to start in verse 12. Verse 12 and 13, Paul says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Mm-hmm. Verse 13, "For it is God who works." Look at somebody and say, "He works."
Yes, he works.
He works in me. It's mm-hmm. God who works in you to will and to act according in order to fulfill his good purpose in your life. In order to fulfill his good purpose. It's God who works in you. I'm going to say that verse again. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Let me read one more section of scripture before we finish up today. It's going to be found in Hebrews. It's chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. It says this, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." That's a hard verse in English. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it reads much smoother in the Greek. But in English, that's a tongue twister. Verse 20 says, 21 says, "Now may this God of peace," may he what? Verse 21, "equip you with everything good mm-hmm. for doing his will. And may he," say it again, "work in us." May God work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to highlight two words in these verses as we finish up today. Philippians 2, verse 13, "For it's God who works in you to will and act according to fulfill his" what kind of purpose? His good purpose.
Yes.
And then we're going to Hebrews and verse 21. May God equip you with everything good mm-hmm. for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Guys, this work that he's doing in us is good. This work that he's doing in us is good. It doesn't always look good. It certainly doesn't always feel good. And if you're basing the goodness of God based on my mountaintop experiences, mm-hmm. wow, the goodness mm-hmm. of God looks like... Mm-hmm. Oh, my bills are paid.
Yes.
God is so good.
Yes.
And absolutely. He's our provision.
He is, definitely.
Absolutely. That's our confession. Amen.
Yes.
When my body gets healed, God is so good. He's our healer.
Yes.
We are going to pray how many times? Every time. Mm-hmm. Until you mm-hmm. are 6 feet under, we're going to pray for your mm-hmm. healing. God mm-hmm. doesn't always heal. I don't know why. I don't care. I'm going to pray for your healing because that's who he is. He's our mm-hmm. healer. He's our mm-hmm. provider. God looks good when he shows up at the altar and my son gets saved.
Yes.
But what happens when the times when he doesn't?
Yeah.
What happens in the times when I don't get healed? Mm-hmm. What happens in the times when I don't have enough? Mm-hmm. You know what? He's still good.
He is.
And he's still doing a good work. And our confession is going to line up with the kingdom of God. Our confession is going to be consistent with the word of God.
Yes.
And yet, I can't judge the goodness of God based on what I see in those situations. Mm-hmm. I've got to trust mm-hmm. his word. His word mm-hmm. is unerring. His word is unyielding. His word is unending. It is what we have to base our life on. The word of God is never failing. And so it may look like it in the natural, but we don't know his ways. His ways are above our ways. So I'm going to continue to believe for healing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to believe for provision. And I'm going to say that, God, you're doing a good work in me, even when the work in my life doesn't look good.
Yes, that's good.
It's a good work. Mm-hmm. God wants to do good things in our lives. And I'm going to say this. How we view the work of God in my life depends on how we define good.
Oof. That's really good.
How we define what God is doing in my life mm-hmm. depends on how I define good. If I've got a narrow definition of good, then I'm going to miss what God's doing in my life. And I'm going to say, God, look at what the devil's doing in my life. And I'm going to miss the deep things of God. And I'm always going to stay at the surface things. I'm never going to let the word of God root deeply in my life. Ooh, that's not good. Well, maybe it's God trying to root some stuff out of our mm-hmm. lives. Maybe it's mm-hmm. God trying to teach us something that we couldn't learn otherwise. Let's trust that God is good and his work is good. Mm-hmm. We love you guys, and we're looking forward to what God is doing in your life, because he's doing something good.
Yes.
Amen.